Okay, welcome back. This is hour two of class five, co-creating heaven on earth with Tellington T-Touch for you and Linda Tellington Jones. And we are continuing with some sharing, and Morgane had some things to, beautiful things to share about the Jane Roberts books.
I've read most of Jane Roberts books. I'm in a twice a month, workshop with a man who took classes with Jane for 10 years. And the Nature of Personal Reality consolidates most of Seth's work if you want to read one book, because there's many, many books, but the Nature of Personal Reality tells it all. And he always tells us that every cell has its own consciousness, and that there are cells in everything that make up all of reality. So, you know, your car is really as alive as your computer, and you can talk to anything. There's nothing that's what he considers not alive and real.
And you know what's really interesting about that, Morgane, is the fact that it's now been shown, and I think I'm pretty sure Lynn McTaggart writes about this in the intention experiment, that our intention has so much to do, just as that first sentence that I read about that, about our consciousness, and that it's now, you know, we can say that's the spiritual side, the unseen side from Seth, that's been out there for many of us, as we see here. And that's in quantum science, it's been shown now that, oh my goodness, what does that mean about research? Because it depends on what, so much depends on what the researcher is feeling and bring up. And that brings me back to the point that how we feel about ourselves. And that's why I wanted to bring that in, and why I quoted Seth Speaks, that just what you're talking about in the Nature of Personal Reality, this idea that, we are a reflection of what we see, what we think. We create our own reality. And that's on page 90, that in the Nature of Personal Reality, when I read that, like in the 70s, I thought, oh, then it's not by accident. And I can influence what happens to me. And now we know the fact that how we feel about ourselves makes a huge difference, and that we can shift. And there's something about this magical spiral, 1 1/4 circle, that helps us to create that reality of our body, to release whatever we've conjured up for ourselves. And I mean, I've always been reluctant to say that, but the fact is, it's really out there. And how can we, through prayer, for one thing, big thing, for holding the intention of what we would like, how we would like ourselves to be, rather than focusing on how we are. And what I'm going to propose is that we, at the end of the 2 hours, because it's not enough, that we come back and we do some more sharing from what we got or what this is bringing up for us, and that we go on with the mind map that we had, because Eleanor has some beautiful gifts to bring to us that may give us more information that helps us in terms of being the caregivers of this beautiful vessel that carries our soul. So, Morgane, thank you so much for bringing this up. I'm thrilled to hear about how this has influenced you, changed my life. Eleanor.
Okay, so, you know, thank you, Linda and Sandy, for giving us this aspect and this perspective. And if I may, please, to bring it into the anatomy of it in the experiential way. And, you know, it's a transition. And I'd love to share with you, see if I can do this. All righty. Can you see this amazing, beautiful vagal nerve, vagus nerve branch system? And so while I have this screen share on, I can't really see everybody. But what I want to try to show is, I wonder where that little highlight thing, ooh, did I do it? Hold on. I did. Oh,
so Eleanor, hold on a second. Before you get this little highlighter out, could you just, in brush strokes, for those who are listening on the phone, because we have a few people.
Yes.
Just describe what we're looking at here.
Okay, so we're actually looking at this stunning sepia-toned depiction, drawing of our whole vagal nerve branch system. Some people call it vagal nerve, some people call it vagus, V-A-G-U-S. It's the same system, nerve branches, that starts in the base of the brain and it travels down the body. And what excites me is it touches on so many important areas of the body that the medical and sometimes scientific world don't notice or take into consideration. And we can use T-Touch to really, really help this. For instance, as it travels down the body, it wraps around the carotid artery, it goes to the face. It's actually next door to the trigeminal nerve. So if one of those systems is being affected, the other can be affected. It travels along into the face and down the throat, to the heart and the lungs and the diaphragm and all the digestive organs. And then it also goes down all the way to the bottom of the pelvis, and it looks like tree roots, the part in the whole pelvis, it from the ribs down, it looks like beautiful tree roots floating in water that go all the way to the bottom of your sit bones. And I'm hoping for those of you who don't see it, that gives you an idea and that you can take the opportunity to come back and look at it as I take it with the highlighter to show you a couple of things. So let's
just to note for those people, it is in a handout that's posted in the member site also.
Great. Oh, okay. So I'm going to go back to Spotlight. And I wonder how to remove. Can you see mouse select text draw Spotlight, the black part up there? Or do you just see the depiction of the brain, Sandy, and the vagal nerve branches?
We just see the nerve branch, the pointer, and the light.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you, because I see a whole lot of other things showing up here. So, and isn't this cool? We just found this the other day when the three of us were talking, and I got so excited. So let's follow this. Can all of you who do have the visual in front of you, can you see the highlighter following this? Great. Okay, so you know what catches my interest. What I just finished teaching recently was about how it wraps around the carotid artery. And that might be for another conversation, except that this morning as Linda was guiding us to take our hands, and we were using the raccoon touch, she also said the bear touch, the baby bear right in the back. But here we can use this touch to go along the carotid artery. And the reason I just want to bring that up is that area, if somebody has had an injury to the head and neck, that area can be affected. And the very gentle raccoon touches, and even the back of the knuckles, the back of the hand, the back of the knuckles, we can touch along that carotid artery area, because the vagus nerve is wrapped in the sheathing, in the lining of that, and can give us such ease in the neck and therefore our head and brain. That's a little bonus that maybe we can talk about more later, but what a gift that that touch can do for us here along the neck. But what I want to bring to today is, if you can see the highlighter where the nerve branches go, and please keep in mind, this is just a depiction. I'm guessing that the branch nerves are even more deeply innervated and shows more. But this, where I'm highlighting, is around the heart. And we know that the vagus nerve branch system physically starts in the base of the brain, and it travels all the way down. But just because that's the anatomy doesn't mean that that's the way it transmits information. Because it actually, about 90% of those nerve fibers travel up. So the story goes something like this. Way back when we're very first formed, and there is the beginning as we're just starting on this earth in utero, we are made here with cardiac cells. Cardiac cells are heart cells. And then as we develop a little bit more, the cardiac cells travel up and become cardiac cells up in what's not even a skull. It becomes the brain. And then they differentiate even more and become neuronal cells, brain cells. So in other words, the brain cells started off as cardiac cells, as heart cells. Well, wow. This is what Linda and I learned a couple of years ago in Mexico as we were studying with the Heart Math Institute, and Dr. Roland McCrady said that. It literally blew me out of my seat. I mean, it was like afterwards, I had to run over to him and I go, tell me more, because, oh my God, do you know what this means? And he goes, yes, I do. And that is the excitement of how we work with ourselves with the heart hug. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I see your expression on your face, right? When we give ourselves that heart hug and we work with the breathing in and the exhaling out, the physiological components is, as we create what Dr. Roland McCrady calls heart rate variability. And that is the ability for the heart rate to speed up, the heart rate to slow down, and to come back to neutral almost quickly. Because if we get, you know, how you've maybe had times in your life where you've been startled and you can't quite get back to that unstartled place. But if you learn the heart hug actually helps you get back to that. Why? Because as we glide the skin, as we inhale through our nose, we're actually hitting those receptor sites that create oxytocin. And that is the hormone and neurotransmitter for health, healing, and happiness. And we're getting all of that with the breathing that comes with the heart hug. Now the breathing.
Eleanor, yeah, sorry to interrupt. Can you just repeat that last little bit?
Because
really useful to hear twice.
Thank you. So I'm going to go out of the screen share pause so I can see people, if that's okay. That'll help me a little bit more. So what happens, you get an idea of what that vagus nerve branch does coming from your skull, from inside the base of your brain, traveling all the way down. When we do the heart hug, we're gliding the skin over the connective tissue. And we now know that when we glide the skin over the connective tissue, it helps us to produce oxytocin. Yeah, see, Janice, I see that expression on your face. It's an aha moment, right? So we produce oxytocin. That oxytocin is a neurotransmitter and hormone for health, healing, and happiness. Let's go back to healing and our overall health and our happiness, those three things. And so when Linda adds in breathing in through the nose and out through pursed lips, what we're doing is we're speeding up our heart as we breathe it, as we inhale, and as we exhale, we slow down our heart. That's the mechanism of inhalation and exhalation. And now what we're doing is we're in this state of oxytocin and therefore serotonin, and we're giving ourselves what the Heart Math Institute calls heart rate variability, the ability to speed it up, slow it down, and find that healing place in the middle. That is the definition of resilience. That is what it takes to be human. The gift that you give us, Linda, that gives us back our humanity, that in a moment that we can get startled, but we can give this, maybe even one heart hug to ourselves. If we turn on the news, if we hear stuff in the media, or in California, as the room shakes a little from side to side, and we get a hold of ourselves, and we give ourselves that heart hug, and that inhalation through the nose, and that exhalation through pursed lips. And by the way, the pursed lips, are you ready for this? Here's another one that excites me. Check this out. We're going back to the diagram of the vagus nerve branches. And let's see if I can annotate. Hold on. Okay. So these branches right into the diaphragm. If you can look at a picture, you can see the vagus nerve branches are so deeply innervated into the diaphragm. So that when we exhale through pursed lips, we create a beautiful level of back pressure into the diaphragm that feeds back into the vagus nerve, that comes back into the lungs, that goes to the heart, into the carotid artery, and up to your brain to say, life is better. Why? Because there's two branches. There's two systems of the vagus nerve system. There's the really old, ancient one. And then there's the more new modern one that came about as soon as the very first mammals showed up on this earth. And the old one is more into fight, flight. So that part goes to the amygdala. We talked about that in the last session. The old part of the brain that says, oh, I'm walking in the dark and I hear rustling in the leaves, I'm a little more alert, right? That's important. We want our amygdala to be on alert. But what we don't want is to stay in that old center part of the brain. So then we can do this for ourselves, the inhalation, the exhalation, through pursed lips, through softness, the heart hug, that moves us up to the prefrontal cortex as we become more advanced, and the frontal cortex, and say, oh, that's a little bird in the leaves in the forest. I'm safe. And that gives us back resilience. It's no different than if we hear the news and we get a little bit shocked into that old system. But how do we survive on this earth? Most simple thing in the world is the heart hug. The most simple thing in the world is a heart hug. And if you can't do it in the heart, you can do it from a distance. You can do it anywhere. But you create that resilience within you that gives you back your sense to be able to heal and come back to that neutral place. And that's the part that helps us to live our lives to the fullest. And that's what you come into this class for, that brings you to that. And today we're just taking that with the heart. So, you know, there's so much more that we can do with that, but just know there's the old system and we want to appreciate the old ancient system. And there's the newer, more mammalian modern system. And that's the part that helps us connect to the front of the brain. I think, therefore I am. But I can feel and sense myself at the same time. That's the gift of tea, Tellington Tea Touch. Thank you, Linda.
Eleanor, that's really precious. And it's just the way you're presenting it. I mean, I don't know how many of you read, it's been 20 years ago now, the statement that we retain only 7% of what we hear. And we've heard some of this over and over, but I think it's really important to get that and to know that this pursed lip breathing is something that I came to many, many, many years ago intuitively. And the fact is that we don't only do it with the heart hug. The way I continue to work all day, and people say, well, how do you manage when you're working all day, you know, doing talking or whatever, whenever I'm doing a circle anywhere, it's like really focus on that breathing in through the nose and out through pursed lips. And I had no idea that it was making all of that difference. It's really brilliant. And I wonder if this brings up from any of you, someone who maybe hasn't had a chance yet to say anything. How do you feel about this? Are you using this pursed lip style of breathing or the heart hugs in ways that we need to share? Any hands jump up?
You know, Linda, so while we're waiting for hands, just a 15-second reiteration is keep in mind that your brain cells started out as heart cells. So when you do this heart hug, you're working the brain. What a gift. And keep in mind, the thing about biology is everything is beautifully redundant. Redundant is a lovely thing in biology because not only does the inhalation speed it up, but but you have receptor sites in your all your nasal passages that open up your, that cause the body to vasodilate, causes the blood vessels to vasodilate. You know what that does? That lowers blood pressure if someone suffers from high blood pressure. And it brings blood to the muscles. It brings blood back to the organs. And then the pursed lips gives that beautiful enough, just ever so slight, back pressure into the lungs, the base of the diaphragm, that feeds back into the ancient and therefore newer part of the vagus nerve branches that helps the whole brain to say thank you. So let's see. So Sage, I'm gonna look for you. And oh, Sage, sometimes if you unmute yourself, it works. Great.
Can you hear me now?
You bet.
You know what a great phrase, sometimes if we unmute ourselves. Oh, yep. I love that, because you know, as I just turned 52 last week, and I'm finding even more of my voice. So that touched me sometimes when I unmute myself. what's coming up for me is like, I can't stop thinking about these kids at the jail that I work with every Wednesday. And I had an experience this past Wednesday. I've been going in, and as I'm finding more of my voice and as I'm connecting more with my dog Reggae as a therapy team, you know, obviously there's transformations that are occurring with the kids and the detention officers. And I've got this security guy right at the front door that now he just waits right at the when you go through security, he's waiting on the other side, like, come here, Reggae. And there's this transformation that's starting to take place as I transform. And so I wanna start there. One of the things that I have been doing on a daily and sometimes multiple times a day, I've been doing almost little, they're like a half pressure or a one pressure raccoon touches all around my heart, rather than the whole heart, but just these tiny little, like, everything's okay. You're okay. Everything's okay. Just this sense of, as I learn and grow, and I'm watching these butterflies flitting outside my window right now. As I learn and grow and expand, there's this tenderness as I'm unfolding. And anyway, so doing these little gentle raccoon touches lightly around the heart. And I also work that vagal nerve every day, my digestion. I love it. I love that, you know, as a woman, I tend to, you know, I came from a family, you know, hold your stomach in. And it's like, I've stopped doing that. My stomach needs to do what it wants to do. And that place of relaxing. So really enjoying that self-care and seeing how it translates with these kids. So one specific experience from this past week, I go into the jail, I work with the juveniles, and I've started to teach every time I go in, I teach them the heart hugs, and I just kind of slip them in because these are kids that are, who are you and what do you want? And I just start to, oh, well, when you're laying in your cell at night, you might just try doing this. Do a few little things, it makes you feel a little calmer. And I just slide them in, and I've taught some mouth tea touches and some ear tea touches. The transformation that's starting to happen with the kids, I have two experiences from this last week. I had one little boy, he can't be more than 12 or 13. And he's in jail. And he asked the detention officer, he said, can I see Reggae next Wednesday? Our dog, you know, and can I see him next Wednesday? And the detention officer said, well, only if you're still here. And he said, well, I'm supposed to be here for a couple of weeks. And the detention officer said, well, then yes, you can see Reggae next week. And he said, yes! Like, who gets excited about being in jail? That specific kid, months ago, I taught him the heart hug. And I don't know if you remember from a few sessions back, there was a boy that I taught him the heart hug and he said, "Ow, it hurts." That's the same little boy who has been doing these heart hugs for 2 months. I know. Who is this sweet 12 or 13 year old who has been in and out of jail doing heart hugs and willing to access his heart. And now he's in this place where he's excited to be in jail next week because he gets to see reggae. And I have one other quick little story about a boy who's maybe 15 or 16. Wednesday was the first day that I saw him. And big dark circles under his eyes and as sweet as can be, just this gentle, gentle, gentle energy. Taught him the heart hugs. He was very open, super sweet. And I have a stethoscope that I use with the kids. And it's part of my kit as a therapy team. And I say to them, "Have you ever heard your heartbeat?" And they haven't. They don't know where their heart is. They physically don't know where it exists in their body. So you talk about the profundity of helping these young children learn where is their heart. So I'm teaching this kid, get the stethoscope up. He said, "I can't find it. Can't find it." And then finally, I'm listening and I'm listening to my heart because I wanted to, is the stethoscope working? He said, "I can't find it." And finally he got really close to me and he said, "Can you help me find my heart?" I said, "Of course." So I put the stethoscope on and I take the stethoscope and I do these tiny little circles with the stethoscope and I find the kid's heartbeat, of course. And then I said, "All right, now it's your turn." And to see a child find their heart, their physical heart, and do these little circular touches with a stethoscope, I see their faces transform from like, "I can't find my heart," to, "Look what's happening." And what I just keep coming back to is how profound it is when we do our work, when we unmute ourselves on all different levels, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and what happens, the transformation that happens. That's what I have for you.
Oh, and know that, we can be there with you. And I just do this, I go into this imaginary circle in the sky, gathering us all together and calling in all the council of animals and all of the spirit of the trees and all of the others, call them in and we can be there. Next time you're going there, we'll be there with you. Right?
Thank you.
Well, the gifts we bring. And please remember, like, they don't have to be major gifts. They can just be the gift of realization of this gift that we have to be in this physical body at this time and have this connection that we have together. Because holding this, giving us the possibility for self-help. That's what this is all about. Self-help and connecting with nature. It's like huge.
Linda, and I always remember how you teach us and how we even had that experience at the Tea Touch celebration when somebody can't touch their heart, just like what we talked about and how Sage used the stethoscope to do the circle at a quarter. So amazing to help the boy find his heart. But even for us as adults, we can go from that distance. We can do it from a distance. How far? How far? Wait, where is it okay? Right? And then give it from there.
Yeah. And explore the possibility of the opposite direction. Or as what Ruby found out, wait a minute, you intuitively were taking making this like 1 1/4 circles and then pushing out of both hands, like as though to rid this, in this case, it was pain. And for those of you on the phone, it's just like taking both hands. She just took both hands out and just made this like 1 1/4 circles and then opened her arms and pushed them out all around you. It's really interesting. But for me, the important thing is then don't see that as a negative. See it as an opportunity to release whatever this is that's bringing us to a place of disturbance, transmuting it to light. It's this light factor. So it's like a reflection from what's inside the cells. No? And it's funny, I think about it all. It's been such an incredible gift that Reiki has brought to the world, this spread around the world, this idea that you bring, you know, divine energy through you into another being. And it's been incredible because it was so simple for people to do. And what the tea touch does is recognize, wait a minute, we don't have to bring something from the outside. We are it. And that is right with inside of us. It's just this next view, the next view of the legend that I mentioned in this inspiration yesterday from Joan King, this concept, you know, that of the Hindu legend, that it's within. And so each one of us who recognizes that, we're putting it out and just adding more information to this world. I would love to have us now, just each one of us, from this perspective that remembering that we actually create our reality, with these, we did this a couple of sessions ago, just taking, or no, maybe it was in the celebration, Eleanor, where we did the tiniest touches, and as Sage described, like a half a pressure, 1 1/4 circles. And there are times when doing it with two hands is really helpful. Just like together, don't worry about the direction. Just do what is natural. Do whatever comes naturally to you. And sometimes it's just with one hand, and sometimes it might be with the other hand that you don't normally use. Let us take like 5 minutes. Remember, there's no time. But just 5 minutes and explore parts of you. And you can either reach just with your mind touches. You don't have to actually reach, but visualize you're doing it on the part that you can't reach or parts that you can. And talk to it with these little raccoon touches, the tiniest touches. By the way, I forget, somebody asked what the bear touch is. Bear touch is with straight in 90 degrees from the first joint. Can you see? That's bear touch. It's like, I got it from the idea of bear claw from Kenyon the little bear. He had these beautiful claws on his paws. Or bear in, because you can go with a deeper pressure. Or very light. And tiger is simply wider apart. It's the nails, with a wider, bigger paw. Or it can be the gentlest way. So I recommend with the raccoon touch, but then play around with different parts of your hand, whatever you feel like, and just go over either with mind touches or air touches off the body or actual tiny, tiny touches. Talking combined with the into the nose and out through pursed lips. Play with that and just have fun. Let's do this and recognize that every part that you're working on yourself, to send this out to all those people who don't have that opportunity of being together with us here doing this. On your mark, get set, go. And something you might explore during this process as you're doing the tiny, tiny, tiny touches with that goes along with, you know, that very light half a pressure or one pressure, remember that you can hold your, how do I do this, on my neck, I can hold my fingers on a spot and I can move my neck around my fingers. In addition to be able to actually do the 1 1/4 circles with my fingers. We can do this up on our shoulders. Some of you remember this. I can just hold my fingers lightly there and move my shoulder around it. Yeah. I don't know how we move our hips around it. I think it works better with 2 hands. Play. Oh dear. I am just see that we've come to the top of the hour, and I am going to propose, after a discussion that I had with someone last week, that maybe we extend this a little bit today. Because this preciousness in sharing, when we verbalize it, something happens that affects each one of us.
So shall we bring this hour to a close, and then we'll start up another recording? You want to sort of bring things to a closure, and then we'll reopen?
I think we have to, in order to stay on our plan, yes. And then we will know that we are going to continue this in the next hour.
Do you want to say anything to close before?
Thank you. I am in such a place of gratitude for all of us doing this together, and for what I feel from each person I can see on the screen, and the gifts that we all bring to this consciousness, knowing and accepting that we can, that we do create our own reality. And the support for that, for those of you who have not been exposed to the Jane Roberts work, I'm bringing this back. There are so many wonderful books that we've studied. What actually made me realize it was time to bring it back, bring it to you all, was the fact that these amazing visionaries who have brought so many gifts, Deepak Chopra, as I said, Louise Hayes, Jared Jampolsky, amazing what he's done, what all of these people have done, and Marianne Williamson, the fact that they're coming back to this after all the gifts they bring, and we're joining that, and we are making a difference just by sharing this knowledge that we can, through our breath, through our heart, through our deep connection to divine spirit within, and to connection to nature and Mother Earth, and all it is, together we're bringing our gifts to the planet. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, dear Eleanor. Thank you, Sage. I'm going to be with you. I would love to know when you go. I would love to be with you, if I may have permission to be in spirit and call in all of us who want to just be there with these beings, these young beings you're touching so deeply. Till the next, let's close this and start another one.
Okay.